Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, where top performers share their secrets to help you achieve your personal and your professional goals. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and together with my truly amazing guests, we bring you inspiring and actionable insights to take your life and business to the next level. So ranked in the top 2% globally, this podcast really is a must listen. And again, it's all because of my guests. So whether you are tuning in for entrepreneurial tips, career advice, or personal development strategies, get ready to turn inspiration into action, challenges into triumphs, and dreams into reality. And I'm going to advise you to take notes, lots of notes, because today I'm really excited to welcome back to the show Christina Wise. She is a prominent figure in real estate investment and financial coaching. And her journey from real estate mogul to millionaire coach and best-selling author is nothing short of inspiring. With multiple seven-figure businesses under her belt, she has literally cracked the code to financial freedom and early retirement, achieving what she calls her freedom number. Now, this is her second foray into Your Partner in Success Radio, so I'm going to really suggest that you go back from last week and find that first episode we did. It was phenomenal. So today I'm excited to continue the conversation, and she's got a number of things that she wants to share. So welcome back to Your Partner in Success Radio, Christina. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be back.
Are you kidding? I begged. You've got to come back. Please, please, please. And bless you, you did. So where did we leave off last week that you want to continue the conversation?
Well, I thought where we'd talk about today is the third leg on the three-legged money stool. And my real mission and passion is to teach money, or to bring money into the forefront where we can talk about it, where it's something we're not afraid of. It's something that's not taboo. It's something that families can talk about at the dinner table. It's something that we as two women can talk about between friends. It's something that a husband and wife can understand and talk about without conflict and friction. Yet, that's not the case. The case is quite the opposite, is that over 80% of our population is month to month, regardless of income level. And there's only about 3% of our entire population that sits somewhere between, let's say, financially stable and secure, and let's say successful, and fully financially free. So only 3%. And what that these statistics tell us is that money, this thing that we all work hard for, something we all put deposit into our bank accounts, and something that we that's taken out of our bank accounts, you know, by paying bills, even though it's so easy for us to kind of deposit our money and to spend our money, other than that, it's really not understood. Yet it's something that is easily learned, but it's not taught in school. And it's a life skill that very few people actually invest their time, energy, and potentially money to get good at it. All right. So the three-legged stool that I mentioned the last time was, let's call it the stool. As we know, this, if a stool has one leg or two legs, it's going to tip over. But if it has three, it doesn't even need four. But if it has three legs, this stool can be stable. It's going to sit. It's going to carry the weight. And we can feel confident to sit on it without it breaking. And that's what we want to do with our money. There's so many people in my space that talk about money, but they usually just talk about one of the legs of the stool, like that's one be all end all. One of those examples is mindset. So we talked last time about our mindset, and yes, our mindset about money is really important. These are our kind of beliefs and narratives about money. And I won't share any more about that because we talked a lot about it in the last episode. But there's mindset. The second leg of the stool is our relationship with money. And that relationship is our behavior, our habits and practices with the money. And we either have a healthy, functional, co-creative type relationship with our money, or we have one that's more of neglect, abdication, dysfunction, and I'd say unhealthy. So clearly we want to develop a healthy relationship with our money, which is basically how we interact with it. The third leg of the stool that I want to talk about today is what I call the skill set of money. And it's to understand that money is a domain of knowledge. And a domain of knowledge means it has its own rules, its own laws, its own distinctions, its own understandings. And any domain of knowledge has its own uniqueness to it. So if you and I were medicine doctors, we went to medical school together, and let's say we studied together. And regardless of what medical school we went to across the country, we more or less in medical school would have learned the same things. And we learned these fundamentals of medicine. And then when we get out, you know, 5-6 years later, you and I can sit down at a conference room table and talk medicine. And we can both practice side by side and pretty much understand what each other's doing. And we can chat after work, and we're going to have our own language. And people outside the room that aren't doctors really won't even understand that language. So that's called a domain of knowledge. And that's kind of a higher level domain of knowledge, but every industry has their domain of knowledge. If you're a pilot, you have that own domain of knowledge. If you're bookkeeping, you have that domain of knowledge. So it's to understand that money is this own domain of knowledge, yet we've not learned it. And that's why the statistics are what the statistics are. So let's talk about, there's so many things I can talk about when it comes to learning the basic life skill of money. And I believe by mastering this basic life skill of money, everybody listening can achieve financial independence and financial freedom. It's available for all of us.
It is. And I just wrote something down while you were talking, and this is something that has popped up my entire life. I know everybody who's listening is read or seen or heard this. Money is the root of all evil. What the heck is that supposed to mean?
What is it supposed to mean?
I don't know. I've never understood it. I mean, how can it be the root of all evil? You have to have money. It doesn't matter if you're living on a street and you're carrying all of your worldly goods in a backpack. You need money to buy a warm food, you know, a cup of coffee. We all need money. How is that evil? I don't, unless you're stealing it, that's evil. But I don't understand that. It just popped into my head.
Yeah. And there's so many things like that. That's one that popped into your head. And if you think about it, there'll probably be 10 others that pop into your head that are just equally as damaging as far as a belief set. And, you know, it's even the thing like money's neutral. Money's just an artifact. It's just a thing. It's a currency that we use to transact value to value. Back in the day, there was no such thing as money. And what people did in villages is they bartered. So it's like, I have a cow and you have vegetables and I need vegetables and you need meat. And so we bartered back and forth, but bartering was a very inefficient way to transact services because we all need to transact. I can't create my own electricity and raise my own chickens and raise my own cows and dig my own wells and on and on and on. So I make money by doing my expertise in one thing and getting good at it. And the more value I can create in this one thing that I'm good at to make more money, usually the more money I can command based on my skill set, the value that I offer, that transactional value. And now I use that money I've made to exchange for those other things that I would have used to have to barter for. So money has no emotion. It's just an artifact. It's just a tool. It's just something that makes exchange of value easier and simpler and more efficient. And that's all money is. So any type of emotions we have about money and beliefs about money and feelings about money and arguments about money. That's all our stuff. It's not money. It's just our narratives and beliefs and stories and experiences with money that we create these isms that we believe to be true. So go ahead.
I was going to say, I have always viewed money as a form of energy. If your energy is where it needs to be, where your vibration, if you will, is where it needs to be, you're probably going to build and attract more money. If you don't have that energy around money, guess what? So am I far wrong or far right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's money can be an energy in my belief. And I'll talk about that when I cover these four principles of money. But like anything, energy is vibration, and energy requires movement. There's, you know, a stagnant pond, there's water there, but will stagnate if it's not moving. There is no energy in this water that doesn't move. And that's the case with anything. When the things have to move to create energy, and the more that they move, the more energetic frequency and vibration it creates. So we need to move our money, and I'll talk about that in a second. But where money is no exception is there's the law of attraction, and there's the law of energy and vibration, and there's now quantum physics. And so what we've learned is that there are these different vibrational frequencies that attract other similar vibrational frequencies. So when I put my energy out in the world and I have an energy of gratitude and love and peace and satisfaction and appreciation and consideration and empathy and all these things, I vibrate. Those types of moods create these vibrational frequencies that go out to the universe and attracts similar vibrations. So I'll meet other people that have similar vibrations, and I'll attract those types of people to me. So that's where our vibrational frequency is very important when it comes to who we attract, as in other people, for example. You know, when you walk into a room, and if it's, you could be in the greatest move ever, but if everybody's in a mood, they're complaining, they're moaning, they're griping, they're all got a scowl on their face, your frequency is going to come down very quickly, because it's going to pull you down. You can't pull them up. They're going to pull you down. So that's why it's so important to put that frequency out into the world, so we attract like, and we are not complaining and griping and moaning, because we'll attract more of that. But money is the same thing. So if we have gratitude about money and appreciation for money and respect for money and a love of money in a healthy way, and we spend time with it and all these things, we're going to attract more money, just like we're going to attract similar types of relationships. So our frequency that we create around anything really in life is going to attract more of it. So that's where we want to put that type of energy into the universe and just call more of it in. And you'll notice once you move from a place of being always dissatisfied, there's never enough money, complaining about it, arguing about it, ignoring it, all these things, that you're just going to attract more of the same. And when you can replace those types of moods and behaviors with these others, you'll start to see just that simple change will make money easier. I mean, it's like I said, it's miraculous. It's magic. I can't explain why it works that way. I can just tell you it works that way.
Well, and you said something about love of money, and I immediately wrote love, and then I made an arrow and wrote gratitude. I mean, that kind of says it all to me. If you're grateful for your money, you're grateful for how you earn your money, how you serve your money, how you give it away, whatever you do, that's love of money to me.
It
because
is.
It's serving you.
It is. And for me personally, you know, I don't share a lot about my personal practices, but I have a morning meditation that I do 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And before I start my workday, I'll just sit down and I do a 15-minute TM meditation, transcendental meditation, and I do a 5-minute like prayer, if you will. And so I'm just in my mantra-based meditation for 15 minutes. Once my dinger goes off, I have this kind of loosely five minutes before the second dinger goes off. And in that 5 minutes, I'm just being grateful. I'm just anything that comes in my mind, but it's usually the same things over and over. Some new ones pop up, but you know, it's just like, people have different gratitude practices and stuff, but mine is, thank you so much for all of the most amazing abundance in, you know, my conversations with universe, and it's God, universe, whatever you kind of pray to or have that connection with. And my gosh, thank you for my children. Thank you for my healthy body. Body, I love you so much. You're so healthy and you take such great care of me. And thank you for healing. And we're in this together. And thank you for the new clients that flowed in. And I just go through this gratitude practice. And that's how I start my day every day. But I share that because I'm sharing my gratitude for the financial abundance, for the health abundance, for the relational abundance, for the love abundance. And it's just even to just get in to start my day in that vibrational frequency of appreciation. Now, does that mean that I'm done and I'm still not working and growing and working to even be healthier and build more financial abundance? And not at all. But it's just the practice to be satisfied and grateful for what I do have, even though I'm working for the next iteration of, you know, everything I'm in the process of creating.
I love that. And I do something similar, I'm going to do better. I do something similar though, as what you do. But my first thought every morning is, well, my first thought is, cat, get off my bladder. That's my first thought. But my second thing that I do is I drink water. I love water. I really do. You put me in a restaurant, you put me in somebody else's home, I'm just going to ask for water. And I'm so grateful for water, running water, hot water, cold water. And I will tell my first gulp of water before I drink, thank you. You know, thank you for this wonderful water. When I'm done, I'm still speaking to the water, saying thank you. And then I go about my business. Listen, I don't get dehydrated. My skin glows. I'm telling you right now, I've got great skin. Well, I live in the deep south. We don't ever dry out because of the humidity. That probably has something to do with it too. But I love water. Love, love, love. So I tell it, thank you.
I love that. You know, I'm going to start that actually. When I drink my first glass of water in the morning, I'm going to say a little thank you to water. Something as simple as water to be grateful for. I mean, think of the magic to that. And there's a book, I can't remember the name of the book, but it's something to do with water, but basically just that there was a scientist who would measure Dispenza. Water. Is that where that came from?
I think Dr. Dispenza said something about that. But yeah, so, and I went, okay, that makes sense. So I say it out loud. I'm not saying it in my head. There's something about speaking to the water out loud, the vibration causes the water to clean up crystal. It does amazing things.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I'm going to adopt that practice. So thank you. One more thing to be grateful for. And just the point there between the both of us is just find something to be grateful for. It's just so easy to complain these days and to never be satisfied. And to get back to the context of money, money's no exception. If we want to attract more money into our life, it won't come without that gratitude and appreciation. It's the law of vibration, whatever that law is. So let's talk a little bit just about what I call the skill set of money, this domain of knowledge that I believe is a life skill. And the more skilled we are at this life skill, because it's a life skill, the more that we know, the better that we are, the fewer problems we're going to have. And I think there's these three buckets of life, and there's these three buckets of life that we can't opt out of. And their life, which means how well we do in each of these buckets, has a direct impact on the quality of our life. And one of those is our health. And I don't know if I told the story here, but I had a big health crisis kind of half a dozen years ago. And I learned very quickly that if my body's not well, life isn't good. And my whole life became all it became nothing but trying to get to the bottom of what was wrong with me, being misdiagnosed over and over and over again, getting sicker and sicker and sicker. So my entire life became consumed with trying to save my life and get healthy. My entire life, meaning my children didn't really have a mother because I was trying to focus on saving my life. My business started deteriorating because I couldn't get out of bed and I was just trying to focus on my health and getting well. And I'm not joking, like my entire life became this journey to try to overcome this illness and get on the other side. And that took like 18 months. And so if we don't take care of our health, for many of us, there becomes a day where our health will consume us because we got to this disease state. So it's something that we want to look at wellness and our health as this bucket of life that we want to spend some time learning the basics. You know, what's a healthy diet? What's a healthy amount of exercise? What are things that we need to know that if we want to live in this container that's going to live long and have a lot of energy and vitality, what are the basics that I need to know and do to be able to live that way? But we have to decide first that we want to live healthy. Without the decision to live healthy, we're probably not going to learn the things or do the things to be healthy, for example. So that's what I call lifestyle architecture. It's like, hey, I want to be healthy until I'm 100. I want to live this way and my body to work that way and, you know, look and feel all these things. And so that after I got sick, that was my wake up call. Like, okay, there's some things to learn here that I didn't know about my body. So that's that bucket. The second bucket is relationships, is that we could have all the money in the world. We could have all great health, you know, invest in great health. But if we're alone on an island, we're probably not going to live that long, even with an abundance of food and $1 billion in the bank. If we were alone, deserted on an island and nobody could find us, we're not going to live long time on our own. And there's all this new science now of the centenarians that basically say that those that live over 100, the science is showing that they live in many blue zones or these zones of the world that are just more health conscious, kind of the food and the environment and less toxicity on the body. But they also have these just deep social relationships and are very involved in their community and with their families. And that socialization and the quality of our relationship has a good deal to do with our longevity and our overall happiness and fulfillment. So there's this relationship piece that if we want to live fulfilling lives, for most of us, if not all of us, we need some type of healthy relationships to be able to enjoy life to its fullest. And then the third bucket's money. Like you said earlier, that why do we call money the root of all evil? We all need money. You need money even at the most basic survival levels. We all need money. Like you said, even being on the street, you need money to buy that cup of coffee. So money is that third component that we can't live a good quality life without it. So we might want to invest just a little bit of learning to get good at it. So those are the three buckets. All right. So I'm going to get to these four principles of money. I'm going to go through them very quickly, just in light of time. And then I actually have a whole webinar that I teach these that I go a lot deeper that is on my YouTube channel if anybody's interested. But to go through them very quickly, there are these four laws of money. If we all would have gone to money school, or they would have taught this in middle school or high school, even college, that we would have learned that there are these four principles of money and they cannot be betrayed without negative consequence. So imagine if we were taught these things in middle school or high school that said, if you betray these money laws, you will be broke for the rest of your life. And then we would have learned what these were. And at least then we would have had the information to know whether we wanted to betray them or not, but we weren't accidentally betraying them due to our ignorance and financial illiteracy. So over 80% of the population is betraying these one or more of these four principles without knowing it. And this is the reason why they have their money problems, because you can't betray them and wind up at this place that we call financial independence. All right. So the first one is called what I call, you have to know your numbers. And knowing your numbers, there's so many elements of knowing your numbers, but basically it says you need to know how much money is enough. You need to know how much money you make. You need to know how much money you spend. You need to know how much money you need to retire. You need to know how much money you need to invest on an annual basis so that you can retire one day. And you need to know what it costs you to get into personal debt and how much that costs you in interest. And you just need to know these basic numbers. There's about 10 numbers. There are 10 numbers that you need to know in life that you have to figure out for yourself. And everybody's numbers are different. My numbers are different than your numbers because, you know, my desired lifestyle is going to be different than your desired lifestyle. But again, we go into adulthood and we don't know there are these 10 numbers that we need to figure out so that we don't betray these money laws. So that's called know your numbers. But the most important numbers to know is called how much money is enough. And I think it's the most important financial question we can ask ourselves. And to go through life without knowing this number is dangerous because this is the number that tells us that when we have this amount of money, we're good. We don't have to ever worry about money again. And ultimately, that's what financial freedom, independence, retirement, whatever word you want to give it, ultimately, that's what we all want. We all want to reach a place where we don't have to wake up today worrying about money and paying the bills. The bills are paid for. A way to think of that is, let's say Aunt Sarah died and she was a billionaire, and she left all of us listening $10 million. Said, hey, here's $10 million. How would everyone listening feel if they had $10 million deposited in their bank today? Denise, how would you feel?
Scared, stupid.
Yeah, not knowing what to do with it. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So there'd be the scary thing, but do you think you could find someone like me that could help you out with that?
Oh, you'd be my first person.
Well, I'm glad about that. But even though you're scared, you could find somebody to help you do what you need to do to remove the fear. But how would it feel to never have to worry about money again?
I'm sitting here with my eyes closed thinking about that. So it is something that we do all need to strive for and towards. And, you know, you said something a couple of times about we're not taught this. I wasn't taught at home, certainly wasn't taught at school. And you grow up kind of, you know, you leave high school and you maybe go to college and you still don't know anything. And we're all very arrogant when we're young, and we either learn or we don't, but too many of us fall on our face, and then we just keep skidding along on our faces as we go through life because we weren't taught.
Yeah, we weren't taught. And this is my mission, is to teach anybody that wants to hear and listen, because money is a very easy problem to solve, even though we think it's the most complicated one to solve. It's actually very easy. But to go back to that, what we're working to do is we just want to get to the place where we don't have to wake up worrying about money today. And again, there's only 3% of our population that actually arrives to that place where there's enough money. But again, we can all achieve enough money. We just don't know how much money is enough. So that's principle number one, is you have to know how much money is enough, and you have to know these most basic numbers. The second law says that you have to create a surplus. And I speak to large audiences. Many times I'll speak to, you know, there can be someone, like there could be 50 in a room or 500 or 5,000 that I'll speak to. And I'll have everybody in a live audience say, first of all, who here wants to be financially free? And of course, every hand goes up in the audience. And then I said, now, how many of you know how to do that? And most of the hands go down. And then the second question I ask is, who wants to know the secret to getting rich? And again, all of the hands go up. I'm like, here it is. Pay attention. Get out a pen and paper. You're going to want to write this down. The secret to getting rich is spend less than you make. And it's like, wah, wah. You know, like everybody's prepared for this big, important, I don't know, message that is going to just be this big aha moment that they've never heard before. And that's the thing. The secret to getting rich is to spend less than you make, because that's the financial law. The financial law says you have to complete, you have to create a surplus, and you create a surplus by spending less than you make. Now, the problem is there's something called Parkinson's Law of Money. And Parkinson's Law of Money says this: expenses will always rise to match income. Expenses will always rise to match income. So that's a law. It's called Parkinson's Law of Money. And so what happens is just that. We'll go our entire adulthood life without ever creating a surplus, because we think we have to make more money to create a surplus because we don't know how to manage our expenses, because we were never taught. And we don't know there's Parkinson's Law that's going to happen insidiously and automatically. It's called expense creep. And it's so invisible, we don't even know it's happening. We just keep feeling like, damn, I'm not making enough money. I need to work harder. I need to get another job. I need to get a side hustle. Something, something. But we're living in this false belief that we need to make more money because that's my money problem. And it's not true. So when we create a surplus, that's where wealth is created. There's a money maxim that's called wealth is created in the margin. And that margin is called profit in business terms. But that's this next skill is you have to know your numbers, how much money's enough. And part of that determining how much money's enough then is how much surplus do I need to create to be financially free in the time frame that I want to be financially free. And I call this middle school math. You need to be able to do some middle school math. We can all do middle school math. And it's just addition and subtraction and some basic algebra that you can put into ChatGPT to give you the answer. You don't even have to do the algebra yourself. So that's the part one and part two. Money law number one, you have to know your numbers, how much money's enough. Number two, you have to create a surplus and you need to know how much surplus is enough. Money law number three. I like to say money is not something you have. Money is something you do. And it's to understand that your money habits are far more important than the amount of money that you have. Because the amount of money you have is directly correlated to your habit of what you do with your money. So money's not something we have. Money's something we do. I call it money-ing, where we make money a verb. So this has to do with our relationship with money. If you have a dysfunctional relationship with your money, you're not going to manage your money. So basically, all that to say, the third principle is you have to manage your money. And again, none of this is rocket science, right? This is all super simple. But managing, when I say you need to manage your money, it's like telling people they need to go to the gym. It's like, I don't want to go to the gym. And it's not fun. It's not pleasant. And I'd rather sit on my sofa and watch Netflix. That's fine. But there's a consequence for not going to the gym or not getting exercise. And it's going to wind up in that health bucket. So managing our money is like going to the gym with our money. If we want our money to build muscle, if we want our money to be fit, if we want our money to be energetic and to create all this abundance for it, it has to be managed. And it's something that a lot of people would just rather not do. And they'd rather just keep banking, you know, believing that it's somehow going to all work out. So that's called money management. And that's if you don't, like I said, if you have a relationship with your money, where you love your money and you love counting your money, you love being grateful for your money, you're going to be in your books all the time. You're going to want to manage it. You're going to want to be responsible. You're going to want to protect it. You're going to want to do, you're going to want to grow it. You're going to love the feeling of watching it grow, but it won't grow if you don't manage it. And, you know, there's this belief that it's like, I'll manage my money when I have more of it. And so that means I never have more of it, so people never will manage it. But the truth is, you'll have more money once you start managing it. So you have to flip everything. So that's called money management, which is a principle number three. And you need a system for doing that. So I teach a system that's called CURBS, C-U-R-B-S, but it's a money management system that one can follow and create habits and practices around that manages your money for growth and abundance. Because you manage it to growth and abundance, it doesn't grow and become abundant by itself. And that's one of those false money beliefs that we think otherwise. So that's the third principle. And the fourth principle is compound interest. You will not become rich and financially free by earning or saving. You can't earn or save enough money to financial independence. Most people can't. There's the exceptions. There are the billionaires that build the billion-dollar company and they do it. But for the rest of us, you can't earn or save your way to financial freedom, to retirement or financial independence. You have to invest it. And that's called putting your money to work. And this is where you put that surplus to work, invested somewhere where it can compound and appreciate and grow over time. And you let your money work. So you have two working vehicles. You, with your body while you're younger, for your, you know, when from your mid to 20s to mid 60s or whatever time frame you want to work your body, that's called working income. You're out working. I'm doing this and I'm working. Denise, you're putting this podcast together. You're working. We're working to create earnings. We're putting that output into the world and we're being compensated for that value. So we're doing that. And what we're doing when those years of working income, we're working for two selves. We're working for our current self, the one that gets to spend the money today. And we're working for our future self that's 10, 20, 30, 40 years older, depending on when we start this. And that future self is not going to want to work this hard anymore. So that future self wants to have the bills paid without having to work. And that's called financial independence. Some people call it retirement. So the only way to create that for that future self is our current working self makes money and spends money. But we create that surplus because we manage our money really well and we know our numbers and how much surplus that we invest the rest of it. And our money's working for us for our future self while we're working for our current self. So our money at work is money that's working for our future self while the work that we're doing is working for our current self, the money we can spend. So that's something to think about, but it's a really important understanding. That when you understand that, you will behave with your money differently. And it's only created through financial independence is only created through this thing called compound interest. And I'll give a quick example and then I'll zip it here for a second. So let's say you determined that you could retire on $2 million net worth. And so that $2 million net worth, you could retire in 20 years, and that $2 million is going to create, let's say, $150,000 worth of income. You can retire and be financially set at $150,000. So you're like, okay, I have zero net worth today. I want $2 million of net worth in 20 years because that's going to create $150,000 of income for me, asset income. So now by doing that simple math that I talked about, we can determine that by putting, let's say, $24,000 away per year, and let's say we could get 10% interest, that by investing that $24,000 per year for 20 years at 10% interest, it's going to create $2 million. So once we do principle number one, know our numbers. Two, we know the surplus, we have to make $24,000 more per year than we spend. Three, we're managing our money to make sure that we put that $24,000 away and invest it. Then number four, we let that money start going to work. So 20 years then, let's say I'm 30 and now I'm 50 and I have my $2 million and I can say I can retire early. I made my $2 million. I've got my $150,000 a year. And as long as I can live off $150,000 a year, I'm set. But here's how it works. So in that 20 years, and let's say that that $2,000 a month payment, then $675,000 of it is going to be our working income, meaning we didn't spend $675,000 over that 20 years. That was our working income that we put into investments. But the rest of it, like the $1.4 million, that was our money working for us. So what that means is that our money outperformed us two to one. We put in $675,000 of the $2 million of our hard-earned money, but our money doubled it. And that's called compounding. So when we're not putting that surplus away for the 20 years, basically, because we're spending that $675,000 that otherwise, you know, would have been spent had we not saved it, invested it. So we spent that $675,000 on some good, great lifestyle stuff, but we gave up the $1.45 million plus the $675,000, which means we gave up the ability to be financially free, because in most people, that 80%, they don't ever achieve that $2 million over the 20 years. So here's just an example of these four principles at work. And I'll conclude all that by saying that these are the basics of money. When you understand these basic four principles and put them to work, you won't have financial issues, or at least they'll be so far fewer than what they are right now.
See, while you were talking, especially about that last, compound interest, I immediately wrote down Warren Buffett, but I also wrote down, and this is an old saying, I see it all the time, you can't save your way out of debt. Now, what made me think those things?
Yeah, well, we don't even understand debt. So debt's a whole nother conversation. And the problem is we live in a culture and society now where we can't imagine having a home without a mortgage. We can't imagine driving a car without a car payment. We can't imagine a life without a credit card balance. And we can't even imagine getting an education without a student loan. So debt is a way of life. And it's so normalized that we don't know what it's costing us, because every time we go into more debt, we get that new car payment, our lifestyle gets more expensive. And it's like we're buying our life through debt. And there's another money maxim that says buy assets, not expenses. And most people, they're spending that $675,000. They're spending it so fast because they're paying the banks all the interest on the mortgages, all the interest on the car payments, all the interest on the credit cards, all the interest on the student loans. So the banks are getting that $2 million. They're getting your $675,000 that you're paying in principal and interest for, you know, for the privilege of borrowing their money, and they make that $2 million. So what we do is we keep all these banks in business, and most people don't understand that it's like money's a sport, and credit card companies and banks are making the billions of dollars off people who don't understand how to play this basic money game. So our naivete and ignorance and illiteracy with money keeps the banks in business. Amazon is a bank. Apple is a bank. Our banks are banks. Their credit card companies are, everything's a bank. Anything that's charging you interest, they're banking on you staying on debt. But debt's so normalized that we just don't even think what it's costing us.
Right. They encourage it. I mean, there's reports, I see it all the time. My dog got a credit card. Oh, good. You're not using it, are you? Tear it up. But it's crazy.
I mean, it's
frightening. It's just, and I'm kind of going over my own financial health right now with you and going, oh, geez. Or in some cases, oh, shit. So I hope a lot of people are listening to this and they're paying a lot of attention and taking down notes.
Yeah, I hope so. This is, like I said, these are four very simple concepts that all of us can understand and everyone listening can apply starting today. Now, the thing is we won't. And a lot of it, sometimes it's as simple as we know that we need to eat less sugar and move our bodies more if we want to get rid of that extra, 10 to 15 pounds, but we choose not to. And it's a life choice. There's nothing judgmental about that. We all get to live the life that we want to live. We get to make the choices we choose. And we live with the consequences, both positive, negative of our own choices without any judgment. It's everybody gets to live their own life. That's what I love. Like, we're here on this planet and we get to live our life and hopefully not harm others. Is kind of the live well and don't harm others and help people and be grateful and make the world a better place. And just, kind of these human principles that we want to live by. But if we want to be financially free, we cannot betray these principles. We have to put them to the work. Now, the thing is the reason why I love sharing these is because there's a difference between betraying these knowingly and betraying these unknowingly. So again, that's my mission, is I want to share these principles and share some of this basic money wisdom and knowledge with anybody that wants to listen, so that those who do want to make changes, once this becomes new awareness for them, it's easy to do so. I just want fewer people to live in what I just call financial ignorance and illiteracy. And by bringing this to the masses so that we can make different choices with the new knowledge if we want to.
Exactly. And what you're talking about is, if anybody who's listening, or this is what I'm taking away from it, anybody who is listening, you can say, oh, that's, great stuff, great ideas. I'll look at that tomorrow. That is, to me, should be another financial law. It's financial procrastination. You're harming yourself. Look, I am a procrastinator. I have a degree in it. I fight with it all the time. But, there are some things, your health, your finances, your relationships, you shouldn't procrastinate on those. Take the time today and go, like Denise did. Oh, shit. Stop and think about what you're doing and don't put it off any longer.
Yeah. Well, hallelujah. That's what I want to say. And that's why I've created my money school. I have my YouTube, I have my podcast. I'm working to teach as many people as I can that want to learn what we didn't learn in school, but what I think we all are entitled to know and understand. And I can teach it. And then anybody that wants help to put all these things into practice, that's what I do for a living, is I'd have my money school and I do coaching consulting to help those put all these principles into practice for the sake of having more financial peace of mind.
Exactly. So if you're talking to our audience and you're going to say, okay, start somewhere, would it be YouTube? Where would you send them to start with?
Yeah, I'd say a couple things. And so something that everybody can do the second they, we complete this is I have this workbook and it's called the Financial Freedom Workbook. And it's what I call the Millionaire Formula, which will help you with principle number one. And this is the workbook that I do with my private clients. And so if you go through this workbook, it's going to give you knowledge about your numbers that you didn't even know that you needed to know. And it's going to create so much clarity. And with clarity comes more happiness. Like, we can't be happy when things are fuzzy and confused. So if you go to wisemoneymethod.com/quiz, Q-U-I-Z, there's kind of just a very quick little quiz that asks you about the numbers you know or don't know, just for the fun of it. But attached to that quiz, then my system will send you this workbook. And that's the starting place. Fill out the workbook. I mean, you'll just be amazed at what you discover about yourself by doing. I think it's a 6-page little workbook, and it just goes through step by step. You fill in the blank and answer these questions to come up with your numbers. So that would be one thing everybody can do, is to take advantage of that little workbook as an exercise. And then, yeah, just to keep learning. If you just want to keep learning about money and principles and the different things that I teach, then yes, at Christina Wise on YouTube would be the place to go.
Where can people find you outside of those? I mean, this is such an important topic, Christina. It's just huge. And it's so important. You know, people are worried right now about, God, everything but money and illegal immigration, I think, are the two biggest things that are worrying people right now. And, yeah, the two do kind of tie together. We're paying for all of this. So, you know, that's a money issue. But people are worried. I mean, I'm finding, and I've found this for quite a while now, that we across the globe, not just in America, seem to be operating under what I can only term a low-level sense of dread. You don't need financial problems on top of that.
I totally agree.
So
I mean,
where can people find you, all told?
Well, I don't say this publicly, but all for just because I don't know. I just appreciate you so much in our conversation, and I just know that you have such a desire to help your audience. And what I have is, if anybody's listening that wants to do what I call a money breakthrough consultation, it's about 45 minutes. Again, I don't do this publicly, but I'll do it here. And you can set up a call with me. And on this 45-minute call, kind of like what Denise is doing here, I'm just going to be listening. I'm going to ask for your money story. I'm going to ask about just your overall money, where you are and how you feel and what's going on. And kind of like a therapist, I'm just going to listen. Never any judgment, not forming any narratives or beliefs. I'm just listening. And sometimes just being able to dump everything on someone like me, you know, like when you do with a therapist, it's just really cathartic. And we just get it off our chest. And that alone can be helpful. And then I can offer some thoughts, some advice, some next steps. We can do a little money mindset breakthrough session if we need to. Whatever you need, we'll do. And that is at a different URL, which is christina.com/call. And christina.com/call, it's a K and two S's. And that will go to my private calendar for a 45-minute breakthrough session. And again, I usually just offer that sparingly, but I want to offer it here just in case anybody's listening wants to take advantage of having a private consult with me.
That is so gracious of you. And thank you. I really appreciate that, because listen, we all need help, whether we know it or admit it, or we're running scared of it. We need help. And when you are offering that kind of help, that is just tremendous. And I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Where are we going to go next? Because I don't think we're done. I mean, I really would like to get you to come back at some point. You know, maybe right now I'm booked for several months, and we just accidentally got you in here and kind of back to backs, which I'm so grateful for, because we had somebody had to reschedule, and I got you here the first time, and the second time I just made up a date. It's like, I don't want to wait until June. So here we are. But definitely, I do want you to come back again at some point in the next few months, if you would.
I'd love to. And, you know, we talked about just money in general, and a lot of this has to do with personal finance and you know, how money affects our lives personally. But I also teach business and the money, what I call money business, or the business of money. And I know that you have quite an entrepreneurial listenership, so I can come back and talk about money mindset and profitability in your business by understanding how money operates as an entrepreneur. So I'm happy to talk about it on the business side, if that would be helpful.
It would. And thank you so much. Listen, Christina, I, as always, sincerely appreciate your company today, and spending time with you has been a distinct pleasure. And I'm so glad we met through our friend, Terry Murphy. You've shared your online presence and your preferred means of contact. So is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience before I reluctantly let you go?
I don't think so. You're amazing. Thanks so much, Denise. And I just really appreciate this opportunity to share this wisdom with your audience.
Thank you. So listen to the audience, as we conclude today's episode, your feedback means an awful lot to me. If you found the show helpful, please support us with a quick review on iTunes. And this is why your input is vital in my mission to inspire and empower more individuals. So don't forget to hit subscribe, leave a review, and share your Partner in Success Radio with friends and colleagues. And be sure to find Christina Wise on the web and connect with her. Again, her first name is Christina, K-R-I-S-S-Tina, Christina Wise on the web. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Christina, I will see you again soon.
Thank you.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.